So, welcome everybody for the last session of today's Technology Zone with respect to the topic Total Cost Management and the synergy between estimating and project controls. After this session, I hope that you not only believe there's a synergy possible by joint cooperation between estimating and project controls, but also that you have an idea of how that could be established. As stated, my name is Aafje Jansen. I'm Managing Director of Cost Engineering Consultancy. We are located in the Netherlands, in the vicinity of Rotterdam. We mainly have services in the fields of cost engineering, from estimating to project controls, also estimate validation. In addition, we also have an in-house developed estimating and cost management tool, which we use in order to deliver the quality of our services in the field of estimating and cost management. Looking at my own experience mainly, I started my professional career 25 years ago with Dow Chemical, on the engineering and construction office located in Rotterdam. With starting the professional career as a cost engineer within an owner company gives you really the opportunity to understand the entire process from the first idea of a project up to the final closure and all the limitations and problems that might occur and how you could solve those. Later on, I moved to an engineering company, Stork Compimo and Jacobs, where you had a complete different view on cost engineering. Looking at, instead of capital investment, it was more focused on margin calculations and having the best profit to a company. About 15 years ago, I joined Cost Engineering Consultancy, and since 7 years, I'm the managing director of there. And in that field, I'm also promoting the profession. For that reason, I think it's very important also to be a certified cost engineer, either through the AACE, as we are, as I'm a CCP, certified cost professional, as well as a certified estimating professional, which also helps you in order to conduct your project better and according to a quality that also the AACE stands for. Just a quick overview of the references, the industry we work at. It's mainly the process industry, oil and gas, pharmacy, chemicals, and the mining industry, but also large EPC contracts, which means that all the methodologies we require for estimating as well as cost management, project controls, are very important, but can also be used amongst these industries. If you later on look at my examples, you'll mainly see as an example from the process industry, but you should realize that the method that is published there can be used for any division or company you work at. And hopefully the methods that I will show you will help you, assisting you developing the same metric, project metric, within your own company. So looking at an estimator point of view, one of the most important features of an estimator is project experience. In order to deliver the quality of his estimate during each stage of the project lifecycle. Now, it's impossible during the professional career of an estimator to gain all that knowledge. So in order to do so, you will see that many companies have a desire to improve the estimating methodologies, the tooling, the system and practices. By doing so, they will get a collective project experience that can be used by all the estimators within the company. Unfortunately, and that's what we see in the real life, that data capturing is very difficult, mainly because reporting structures, the standardized format that is required to benchmark all this data is not available. Therefore, we see a missing feedback loop within the project controls towards estimating. In order to improve the estimating lifecycle and also to improve project controls, those two disciplines should work together. One of the main reasons, quite a few reasons why the feedback loop is broken, is for instance that there are quite a few disconnects between the understanding of the disciplines. There's a disconnect of the needs that project management have on their reporting requirements. There's a disconnect what estimator requires as well with project controls. Now, in order to create a proper working feedback loop, we have to make sure that the needs of these different disciplines are brought together and there's an understanding amongst those. Another reason why very often the feedback loop is missing from project controls into estimating is also the level of detail that's provided by estimating in order to establish the baseline. We've heard from many companies that having a recasted baseline might take weeks or months in order to have a proper baseline to control against, because the level of detail that's provided by the estimate is either way too much, so it takes a lot of time to recast it, or maybe at a higher level, because estimating did not understand the requirements from project controls departments. Another reason what we see quite often these days is also the contracting methodology, because quite a lot of companies tend to go to EPC, lumps and turnkey projects, less information is captured during execution, because they're reluctant to provide the information on actual costs, quantities, and progress. In order to close that feedback loop, we need to enforce it through the contracts. So procurement should also be involved in order to get that information back. So I believe that it's time that we start thinking and establishing this synergy between estimating and project controls. We should work together. We should not see it as two independent pillars anymore, and see that the added value from each other will be of benefit for both parties. We can work with preset visual indicators, so it becomes more clear for everybody what is required. In order to do so, there are some areas where the synergy could start. A starting point is establishing the proper baseline. The baseline should establish all the requirements for all the stakeholders. The starting point, we need to have the possibilities of the detailed information that is required within estimating, because the aggregation level between estimating and project controls is completely different. But also the need of project management in order to report their key performance indicators becomes very important. So in order to establish the baseline, an unclear understanding of each other reporting requirements is needed. During project execution, the cost and schedule performance must be monitored. We don't want to have at the end of the project that we know what exactly performance of the project is. So at the end we realize that we're short of budget. We need to know upfront already, have an indication where the project is heading to, so we can steer it by a proper forecasting methodologies. And that's again the step, again the synergy between estimating and project controls, that having a good forecasting information very often is based on estimates. So estimating involvement is very important during forecasting. Not having to establish estimate to complete value, but also the changes occurred at projects. Those changes should be estimated upfront. It will be implemented, so it can be controlled and planned against. So again, a very input and an involvement of estimating with project controls. So from having the project controls set up during the execution, the project controls can already set up very variable metrics and ratios and statistics that estimators could use for early phase estimating. They can use also those metrics and statistics and ratios for estimating reviews, not only for estimating. But in order to report the correct project metrics, cost control, project controls should need to know the requirements for estimating. So I think this is one of the known feedback or the information cycle within cost engineering, project controls. We typically start with early phase estimating, a class 5 high level accuracy, followed by the different estimating phases and more accurate estimates when the project progresses. For these different estimates, we require different estimate methodologies. Different estimate methodologies means also that you require different estimating information. What you see going to the execution, starting the counter estimate and the baseline, you very often see that link is broken. you see that the feedback loop from estimating to project control is disrupted because of the aggregation level of the estimate, the way the estimate is reporting against the way the project wants to be controlled. And at the end of the project, there's a lot of available information, but because it was not kept and tracked according the way that it's useful to estimating, you'll see that the feedback towards estimating is also broken. The ideal situation here is that with a centralized data capturing, we'll make sure that all the information of estimating and during project control is captured ongoing, online. So you have an intermediate and always up-to-date information stream from estimating as well as execution. In order to establish the cost baseline, it's important to understand each other's needs. From this, we need to understand what kind of reporting requirements cost control has. In order also for project controls to report the correct project metrics, it's also a need for project control to understand what the requirements for estimating are. Looking at this AACE, Advanced Association of Cost Engineers Estimating Classification, you will see that with the level of project definition maturity, that you get more accurate estimates. More information is available, so you're able to present more accurate estimates. In order to do so, you have to need to have more detailed information. Starting at a Class 5 estimate, it's typically a capacity-affected approach. It means that only based on the capacity, the total cost, installed cost is estimated. So from project controls, you only need a feedback on the total cost and the attribute stating the capacity of that project, so you can calculate back the cost per capacity. For a Class 4 type of estimate, in the range of 40% accuracy, where more cost factor methods are used, there's a ratio between total installed cost and a certain equipment cost. Or in the building industry, there's a ratio of the total building cost in relation to the volume. You can have to define also the elements of the cost factors. Is the total installed cost factor dependent on equipment cost? Is it dependent on material cost or dependent on the volume? For further on, detail estimating, you need to know on the norm level. You need to understand how the labor is built up. So based on performance indicators, we get a feedback whether the project is enhancing much more better than planned or worse. Based on the schedule performance index, you can update your labor norms and improve your detail estimating. Now, once you've established the type of estimating process and also the feedback you need from project controls, it needs to be established what your reporting structures will be. In an estimating, you have a completely different reporting structure. You mainly focus on cost attributes. Is it an equipment item? Is it a material item? Is it an installation norm? Maybe you want to split it up over the different areas. If you look at the reporting requirements from project controls, you'll see that it's more related to work packages, on how the project is executed. In order to get those aligned, you need to know upfront during estimating what the project controls requirements are. Making sure that all these reporting structures are embedded in your estimate, you can easily convert it to the baseline. When during execution, both structures, reporting structures, estimating-wise and project control are followed, also at the project closure, you're able to report back all the information back to estimating. Looking at this slide, is a view where you can see if you have different reporting structure that these can be merged. You can look at a cost breakdown structure where the attributes of what the cost is versus work packs or versus areas or maybe versus objects if you want to go in more detail. Now, having those particular structures, you're quite flexible in reporting and how you want to report it. Then taking the next step to forecasting during your project controls. We all know that a lot of time is spent on checking, in correcting, in data handling. And what we want to establish is that much more effort is put in forecasting. Forecasting is based on a study, including change management, 10% of the time of a project control person. That should be much more, because the emphasis of project controls is giving the right forecast in time. So forecasting and getting a good prediction is the main focus of a project control lead. So we think that by establishing a more integrated solution between estimating and project controls, we'll make sure that the effort in forecasting becomes less. By linking estimating items with project control document items, make sure that you always can trace back the original source. During project controls, when a change is incurred, you really want to know what was included in the estimate. Well, for project controls, your aggregation level is higher. You still want to know the details. Is it really a scope change, or was it already embedded in the initial estimate? By linking this estimate not only to the baseline, but also to the estimate at completion value, you can also keep the estimate alive. So when more design is progressed, during detail engineering, execution has already started, you get better information, you can improve your estimate. By keeping that link between the estimate and your estimate at completion value, by improving the estimate, you also improve your forecast of your project controls document and your project. You can also imagine that for resources that are duration-based, like project management, secretary support, planning scheduler, all the project control services, it's based on schedules. So you could link those resources with your schedule, and when you link those with your estimate at completion value, by updating the schedule, you update your estimate and as well as your forecast immediately. Of course, in a moment of time, you get more better information from the field. You can, of course, just keep the link as reference and improve it by the latest information from the market. So basically, the involvement of estimating during project controls is very important. Like I said, not only the estimate at completion is a forecasting is an estimate, as well as estimating the changes. As well, changes can be estimated and again linked to a change register. Having the change register as a basis, you can visualize those during your project controls, what the trending is of your estimate. So you start with a baseline and you can see all the changes that occurred in time to your project. So you can maybe have corrective actions to still make sure that you stay within your final budget. I think many of you have been on project controls, on projects, that at the end of the project a lot of information is available, but that data is not structured. So in order to establish a good project closeout, it will become very cumbersome, time-consuming. Plus, the next project is already calling. You're already assigned to new projects, and at the moment of time, very often, good project closure reports are not made. What we want to establish by the synergy between estimating project controls, that you already get the valuable information during execution. So at any moment in time, you will get your results, which you can report in your project closeout report. So, making the link for project controls towards estimating, what are for us, for estimators, the very important information is, for instance, for early phase estimating, the cost factors. Looking at the ratios between costs, looking at total installed cost versus equipment, looking at the installation hours of equipment versus the cost of equipment, and all the different cost ratios. For more advanced estimating, like concept studies, you could make use of characteristic values and metrics. You can also call that quantitative estimating. There you use key quantities and metrics in order to estimate the required quantities. In an early phase estimate, you do not want to involve large design companies and put a lot of effort in engineering. So it would be helpful in case with key quantities and project metrics that you can estimate the quantities in early phase, which is a better approach and a more accurate approach than cost factors. In order to develop those metrics, it will be very helpful when during project controls, not only costs are controlled, but also hours and quantities. When you have controlled those, you can easily, during execution, use the actual quantities to date or quantities at completion in order to develop the key quantities for quantitative estimating. For detailed estimating, it's very important to look at the realized hours in order to benchmark the estimating norms. You can look at your cost performance index and your schedule performance index to see if the productivity that you assumed that could be realized is really realized. If there's a differentiation between the two, we can look at what is the reason. Is it because assumed productivity is not established due to specific circumstances, or do I need to adjust the baseline of my estimating labor norms? Now, looking at in the total project phase out, the most important information that estimating needs from project controls, which can be indeed developed during execution, are cost factors for the factor estimating. For the quantitative estimating approach, the key quantities, because from the key quantities you can develop any key metrics. With these key metrics, we can develop, of course, easy the estimating characteristics. And it can only not be used for estimating, but you can also use it to validate estimates. Very often, during estimate validations, you do not have the time to make a full counterestimate. You need to be able to validate the quality of the estimate based on norms. That could either be cost factors, but it's much more valuable if you validate those estimates with key quantities. It's the total quantities of total meters of pipe according my expectation of the number of pieces of equipment. The average size of piping diameter is that conform my expectation based on the executed project I already did. So what in the process industry are important metrics? I should realize this example is the process industry, but you can really derive any metrics for any type of business. Like I said, for infrastructure project, you could look at metrics of types of asphalt versus the width of a road, for instance. For buildings, you can look at the volume relations to the surface area of walls. So in any industry, you can define your metrics. Basically, metrics used for quantitative estimating are determined, like I said earlier, to estimate the quantities required for the project. It will help you limit the cost for the full design team. Now, one of the key parameters, the mechanical work within an industry project, which means you always look at the piping work. So what is the average length of pipe per piece of equipment? What is the average diameter? And you have to take into account as well the type of project, because we can imagine that a gas plant will definitely have much larger pipe diameters than a pharmaceutical plant. And these key quantities can be derived during project controls when you control on quantities as well. So for project closeout, my opinion is that the focus should be on project metrics. And project metric could be cost ratios, cost factors, but also quantity factors. These quantities can then be used for to research your findings and hopefully improve your project and business results. Because an estimate should be lean. An estimate should be not predictable by having a fat estimate. An estimate should fit its purpose. Hopefully, when you have these characteristic values, it will support your conceptual estimating. As well, your estimating reviews, very important. You can look at an estimate from a third party and just analyzing all the key quantities and come up to a conclusion already. They miss out quite a few. Maybe they've missed the stress calculations. Maybe they've missed out the complexity of the plant based on the fitting factors. Also, and that's the main focus, the improvement and calibration of your in-house data can be accomplished. And I think that is very valuable asset to a company, because it becomes harder and harder these days to get that information from the market. And hopefully, you will get to a project closeout that you do not run into the situation of all the information is buried, but that all the information is available to you and to the company you work for. Having said, as a starting point, reporting structures are very important. You can look at metrics for your entire project based on cost parameters or on area or work packs. But one of the alternatives is that you also look at objects. And you can make the same project metrics based on objects if you bring in that reporting metric. As an example, again from the process industry, a certain vessel has certain metrics. And making an analysis of that vessel, I can tell you it's an F4A chemical plant. It will have an average of 4.5 inch diameter. It will have approximately 150 meters of equipment. All these metrics will tell me, in a fast way, for early phase estimating, and with the goal of 30% estimating. But having said this, if I have, during project controls, this information is not captured, it will be very difficult to get this information. It will mean that from engineering documents, you have to do reverse engineering to get to results. But all the field changes, which you control during the execution phase, will not be incorporated then. So therefore, we do require during project controls that input also from that group. Once and the metrics comes in for project controls, in order to be able to estimate, you have to make sure that your cost database is aligned. In case your metrics gives me a quantity per meter, my cost database should not be based on weight. Yes, that's something internal alignment. You have to make sure that your unit rate or your assembly cost is aligned with the metrics you get from project controls. So, the essential basic for metric development is that also to understand what's included in the metric. The definition is very important. You should understand the difference is inside battery limit cost or an outside battery limit cost. Does it include all the site preparation work or all the pipe racks, or am I only looking at the basic part, the inside battery limit of the plant? Also, the analyzing of the key quantity is very important. Sometimes, for instance, it could be disturbed by mixing different types of elements to each other. You have to make sure that apples are compared. You should not add up length of cable with length of pipe. So we have to make sure that it's not just based on the unit of measurement, but really based on the scope element. Also very important is to develop useful metrics. There's no relation between the length of cable and the length of pipe. The length of cable is determined on the distance to the substation and the length of the single cables towards the junction box, for instance. So also, we have to make sure that we really find a relation that is repetitive for the different projects. Also very important to distinguish between the different types of projects. Like I said, a gas project or pharmaceutical project have completely different dynamics. If I would use project metrics from a refinery for my food project, definitely I would overestimate a lot of the scope. And as I said, having a cost database in line with your metrics will make sure that the estimating becomes very much easier. As an example of the key metrics and key quantities. Key quantities is really those items that are determining your project. Having the bolts and nuts is not a key quantity. So you look for each discipline for your project, what could be a key metric. For a building infrastructural project, volume, surface area of walls, floor, internal, how many facilities do you have? For roads, you want to know the different lengths and the influence of the length and the width to the unit cost, for instance. So again, the key quantities you want to derive depends on the type of project you want to do your key metrics for. With these key quantities, when you have know these, you only have to do is find the right relation between the key quantities to get to the proper metric, to ensure that you relate two quantities that are really related to each other and can be repeated for the following projects. Another project metric is not quantities, but cost. Just cost ratios. Cost ratios are very helpful in the really early phase of estimate. There you look at, based on a cost of an item, what the relation is to the total installed cost. Within the industry, there's a quite common relation between the total installed cost and the main equipment items. So if you would develop in the early phase just the cost of equipment, by applying the right metrics, ratios, cost factors, you can have an indicative total cost. Basically with an estimate range between 40 to 50%, but that is valid for the estimate phase you're in. So it's valid, this estimating approach is valid for the requirements of the gate decision, whether it's a valid business case or not. Making the step from estimating to project controls, ensuring that the project metrics you follow during execution are aligned with the requirements. I've made a few metrics here in one of my projects that's in execution, and it ranges from metrics for quantities up to cost ratios and engineering hours. So in this case, you could see this project had 105 meters piece of equipment. If you look at the total installed cost factor, the ratio between the total installed cost and the equipment cost was factor 7. Now, somebody with an estimating would know, okay, this must be more than just inside battery limit. Must also include some facility and OSBL items. When I look at this metric again, I have to make sure that I make a filter on the correct scope of my project. Another element, also for engineering, is also very important. You need to understand, in early phase, how much engineering effort should I apply? Could be a percentage of total installed cost. It could also be an hour relation to a certain number of items. Could be a relation of construction man hours in relation to the engineering hours. Whatever ratio you feel is applicable can be developed. When you set this up at the start of the project execution, it will be continuously updated as soon as you update your forecasting and your estimated completion values. So these metrics are really live, updated during execution. So at the end of the project, you don't have to worry about your project closure. All the relevant information in order to feed your company's estimating process are available. So I feel in order to do these kind of things, there are really a database system required in order to have historical retrieval analysis. It's very difficult to do that with Excel spreadsheets. What is very important in that way is that you always have actual metrics at any given moment in time. Of course, it will not be your final metric, but for sure it will be better than your initial estimated metric because it's already partial replaced by actuals and your latest estimate. What's also with estimate these metrics, it can be specified according to your company's needs. It can be done for each business, each requirement. If you're an engineering company, you will look at the engineering hour ratios. If you're a contractor, you will look at the installation hours ratios. This way, it will fit for purpose for every company. Next to the project metrics, during project controls, earned value management is a very good input to update your details of your estimate. In order, giving you information on the cost performance and the schedule performance will give you good information in order to update your detailed estimating requirements, in order to update your productivities in case you see that on a portfolio level, the productivity has improved in time. Maybe the technology, like the welding machines and new bending methodologies, will have improved the productivity in the field. Those changes in the field should be fed back in the estimate and data. And what we've seen over the years, that improvement estimating data takes too long. In the estimating, we look at still at pagination norms developed in the years 50s, 60s, 1960s in the United States. And we look at norm systems that are decades old. So having this in place with the modern technology that is available, we can make sure that everything is improved far much quicker. Now, some of visual, because what you see these days is that visuals becomes more intuitive for managers. Visuals may, let's say, sometimes say figures speak, numbers don't speak, analysts do. And it helps you to visualize these kind of metrics. When you report these metrics, there are some quality of earned value what needs to be established. The metrics should be creditable. You have to make sure that it's really according the expectation of management. You have to make sure it's not the progress is reported based on expert judgment, but that you have some kind of milestone increments, that you really report the right progress and keep the right earned value reporting. It should be timely. Having earned value reporting 2 months behind the fact, you'll be too late. Your project will be ended before you have that information available. They also need to be significant. Controlling earned value management on bolts or nuts does not add value to your total project. You should look at the total picture. Some other examples of earned value management reporting in the DESRI reports, you can make up again your own metrics, SPI, schedule performance indicators, cost performance indicators are very well-known tools in order to give an idea of the progress of your project, which help you, again, improve your forecasting. It's an important portion of project controls. But there are many other earned value methods, schedule variance, and you can set up your gauges the way you want. This helps indeed, instead of looking at the numbers, visually understand what the progress of your project is. So, conclude this presentation. In order to create synergy between estimating and project controls, we have to make sure that all the requirements from estimating, project controls, but also project management are aligned. They need to understand each other's needs. Also, I think a lot of the disconnect between the information flow between the two disciplines is also in the misunderstanding of each other's requirements. Having that aligned will already improve a lot. Make sure that during your project execution, all those metrics, project metrics that are required when you do a project closeout are already available. It will help you steer your project during execution, but also at the end, it will save you a lot of effort in capturing all the data. Make sure estimating is involved during forecasting. Forecasting is the most important portion of project controls. You have to be proactive so you can still have your mitigation actions. Having this in place will enhance the predictability of your project results. And last but not least, do not wait till project closure. You will be too late. You'll be on another project and all the information is lost to the project mainly.